This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Now this is
podcasting. Woo!
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
So before we begin
okay.
tonight, Jack, I want to find common ground with you.
Yeah.
I want this conversation to be civilized. I want
yes.
it to be productive. You know that I am someone who admires the babysitting media that we watch tonight.
Yes. Greatly.
Greatly.
Yeah.
And I know that you are someone who appreciates it less.
Right. And that lack of appreciation... To just in the tone that I think you want from
Careful.
Me, that lack of appreciation, which I would describe as extreme, comes from a place yeah. of love.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this is my point. Is I want to find some common ground. So let's go down the list and see the places where we agree.
Okay.
So while Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace may yeah. not be your favorite piece of Star Wars media,
mm-hmm.
we can at least agree that Star Wars media in general
mm-hmm.
and Star Wars in general is very good. The concept of Star Wars
yeah.
is good and fun.
Here's what. I am a Star Wars fan.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. Can we
I'm
say
a Star
that?
Wars fan too.
Where's
yeah.
Hey. Hey, Tanner?
Yeah.
I'm Jack. And I'm a Star Wars fan.
I'm Tanner, and I'm a Star Wars fan.
Feels good to say that.
So that's okay. some common ground.
Yeah.
Second piece that I want to talk about is that there are a lot of flawed characters
uh-huh.
in the prequel series.
Uh-huh.
Star Wars Episode One: Phantom Menace being the first of three films in the prequel series.
Yeah.
But I think that you and I can at least both agree that Jar Jar Binks is a strong and good character. And I'm just trying to find common ground with you. So I think that is
And that's
given.
Where you want to start.
That's something we can both get on board with, right?
So
we'll just take that as understood.
Oh, we
and we that's something that's where we agree. So we're both Star Wars
okay,
fans.
Okay. All right. You don't fans. You don't want you'd prefer to just kind of blow past my response on this one.
And then
okay, yep.
I guess point three would be Duel of the Fates is a banger, right?
The song
Duel of the Fates
yeah.
when they're first facing off, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are first facing off against Darth Maul.
Yeah, that rocks.
Hell of a song, right?
Yeah, that rocks. And
pod racing is pretty cool.
Pod racing's great, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot
oh,
of
shit I meant
it
to say.
Sounds like you love the film.
I want to say this. Can we say this?
What?
Ready to start the show?
Yeah.
Now this
now
is
this
podcasting.
Is oh, that's good. Fuck. Now this is podcasting.
Now this is podcasting.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Put it on a t-shirt. Don't you think?
So I've seen this film, gosh, upwards of 20 times maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I do insist that I like the film,
mm-hmm.
and I know that that's an unpopular opinion, but
I like it about you.
I watched this evening.
Yeah,
this film.
Mm-hmm.
I started it earlier today and I finished it this evening. And gosh, darn it, Jack.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Okay, you do still like it. Good.
You want it to be bad, and you yeah. hear that it's bad, and you're like, all right, I guess it's bad. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to like be critical because I need to, like, you know, I have a podcast to do, and I can't just be all shitting rainbows the entire time about this movie. But then you watch it, and you're like, you know, this is not a bad movie. This is kind of a good movie.
Careful
it's
with
well
your
use. It's well shot. It moves along, you know, like, it's kind of good.
While watching this film, Well, I want to tell you a few things. I've got a lot to say. So well, let's introduce the show.
Okay, but keep in mind that we've already agreed on those sort of like top line points.
All right, number two is a little shaky, but we'll get into it. Let's introduce the show. I'm Jack Shepard.
My name's Tanner Greenring.
This is the Babysitter's Club Club.
It's episode 15, season 15.
Something like that. And it's we're talking about The Phantom Menace. Star Wars episode one. The Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, where it all began.
And is it a Phantom Menace or the Phantom Menace?
The Phantom Menace. It's an Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it's the Phantom Menace.
It's a typo, but they just went with it.
They just went with it. Lucas was like, we'll fix that in CGI.
Good luck.
And it's a babysitting movie. It's a classic babysitting movie, and that's why we're the Babysitter's Club Club. We talk about the greatest babysitting movies. And the first one that we talked about was The Babysitter's Club. And now we're talking about The Babysitter's Club that is loosely conceived of as Qui-Gon Jinn.
Huh?
Qui-Gon? Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Qui-Gon. And that's his name, right? And Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And that's Qui-Gon a babysitter.
Jim.
Jim. That's what I said.
What did you say? Jin?
I can't remember.
Like
did I
liquor?
Say Jin? Okay. Qui-Gon.
That doesn't make any sense.
Jim.
Qui-Gon Jim.
Okay. So yeah. Jim to his friends.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. Best friends and a babysitting club.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
And this is Cam Geary's fan theories.
Okay. And
I don't think
segment.
This is. Yeah. I do agree that this is a babysitting narrative.
Yeah.
But I think if you really pay attention, the babysitting begins. There's this intro scene where the babies, Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi, are like being naughty. They're doing lightsaber fights with robots and offensive caricatures.
Yeah.
And then they leave that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up on the planet Naboo, where a kindly local decides to take them under his wing.
Watto.
And show... No, Naboo. That's Tatooine.
Oh, on Naboo, sorry.
Jesus, this is going to be a fucking nightmare, isn't it? A kindly local takes them under his wing and shows them around, introduces them to Boss Nass and...
Jar Jar.
It kind of goes from there. I think the true babysitter of this novel, video novel...
Is
Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. I'm going to have a lot to say about Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? He's the main character of this film.
I watched a film today with my wife and my child, by which I mean I was watching
Sarah
the film
was there too.
By myself. And then the child entered, because you and I had a text message exchange where I asked you if you thought it would be okay for someone of Cyril's tender years to watch the movie. And you said yes. And he loved it.
I said the only watch out was the guy getting chopped in half.
He didn't. He was like completely uninterested in that. He like his primary question. I recorded some audio of him, so we'll maybe play some. But his primary question was, "What kind of animal is that?" And he asked that
which
almost
guy?
Everyone.
What kind of animal is that?
He's a Gunga.
What kind of animal is that?
That's a Sith. His name is Darth Maul.
There's a lot of animals over here.
Yeah, there sure are.
There's the flying guy. There it is. There he is. Look. There's the flying guy.
Yeah, that's Watto.
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Yeah. He's a kind of animal.
He's a Toydarian slaver.
So when Jar Jar first came on the screen, he said, what's that scary thing?
Not scary.
And then he said, what kind of animal is he?
Gungan.
And then Darth Maul, it was sort of the same question. What kind of animal is he? And I said, it's a Sith.
He's not a Sith. God damn.
He is a Sith.
Well, he is, but that's like...
Sith Lord.
That's like saying like the kind of animal you are is like content consultant.
Okay. That's true.
He's a Dathomirian.
Okay. All right. Well, I got that one wrong.
Well, and he already, you texted me that he fucked something else up. I feel like you're, this is not something I say lightly, but it's something I truly believe, is that you're raising him wrong. Because you texted me earlier and said that Cyril asked if he could go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, you asked Cyril if he wanted to go to the bathroom.
I said, do you want to use the potty? And he said, no, I'm Sebulba. Sebulbas don't need potties.
Right. And that doesn't make any sense for obvious reasons, right? You understand why that doesn't make any sense, right?
Because Sebulbas do actually use the bathroom just in between pod races.
Sure, but Sebulba is a guy. And his race is Doug. And Doug's, I'm sure, use the restroom.
You are currently talking to the father of, I can confidently say, the biggest Sebulba stan.
Mm-hmm. He's a cool character. He's got that weird
in the universe.
He kind of walks on his forearms and he uses his legs as arms.
Yeah.
He's tough as hell. He's a hell of a pod racer.
Here's what Cyril said during the pod racing scene.
Yeah.
That's not a dinosaur. That's Sebulba.
Who called him a dinosaur?
Cyril in his mind was worried about who might or might not be dinosaurs.
Okay.
There are a lot of kind of dinosaurs on Gungan planet.
Naboo.
Yeah. And final thing he said, I like that guy. He's crazy. Who do you think he was talking about?
Is it Sebulba?
No.
Is it the two-headed announcer?
He did like the two-headed announcer, but no, this was his, I think, probably second favorite character in The Phantom Menace, Watto.
Oh, Watto, yes.
So that's a lot of Star Wars talk. I've slandered...
And there's going to be a lot more. Yeah,
I've slandered my wife. She didn't watch the movie with me. She came in briefly to see if it seemed like it was okay that Cyril was watching it, and she stood there for like 5 minutes, and she said the same thing over and over. Like, I'm not even sure she was aware that I could hear it. She just stood in the doorway, and like every 2 minutes she would say, "Why is it like this?"
What do you mean?
Why is it so good?
Why is it so beautiful? It's almost hard to behold.
I've written a good version of the movie.
Okay.
Based on watching it.
Is it just note for note the same movie?
No. Do you want to hear it or do you want to describe the film first?
Well, I'll describe the film first so people know what we're dealing with. The unmolested version of the film.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then when did this come out?
99.
So I'm going to give you 99 seconds to do it.
Okay.
I wish somebody had given George Lucas these kind of constraints.
Yeah. No. This is his blank check.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. 99. I'm going to put 99 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 99 seconds, we'll have you describe everything that happens
so much
in the film.
Time.
It's a pretty dense film in some ways. Yeah. And then I'll tell you my version, I think.
Okay.
Spoilers for Phantom Menace. Fuck it. We're going to spoil the shit out of this one.
It's 22 years old at this point.
Like, whatever of this film was not already spoiled by George Lucas,
we
will spoil.
Yeah.
All right, 99 seconds starting now.
All right, so the Trade Federation is doing a blockade on Naboo, and they're being controlled by a shadowy figure who's called Darth Sidious. He's a Sith Lord. The Jedi come to negotiate a truce, a treaty, their names are Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
From Mallory Hayes' Poison Jinn.
They try to poison them because the Darth Sidious guy tells them to. And they don't die. Instead, they chop up a bunch of robots and try to lightsaber a door open before finally escaping and crawling onto a lander and full of robots. And they go to the surface of Naboo where they meet Jar Jar Binks. And he takes them to the Gungan city where Boss Nass tells them to fuck off and gives them I think it's called a bongo. And then they take the bongo to the core of the planet, and they arrive in Naboo.
30 seconds left.
As it's being taken over by robots, and then they escape with the Queen, Amidala, and her handmaidens, and they go to Coruscant, where they help overthrow the Supreme Chancellor, and then Senator Palpatine becomes the Supreme Chancellor, and then they get in a fight with the robots. They go back to Naboo and they get in a fight with the robots. And then Anakin blows up the robot control space station and all the robots die. And then there's a big fight with the Gungans and everyone wins and everyone's happy.
And time. You forgot that they do go to Tatooine and they rescue.
They do go to Tatooine and they pick up Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin during a pod race. Okay. Here's my version. Ready? Tell me this is good. Tell me this is a good version of the movie.
That was 99 seconds?
Yeah.
Jesus. It is a thick read.
It's a thick book. Here we go.
Yeah.
We have the crawl. I'm going to change the crawl. The crawl is different.
Okay.
But the can you at least agree that the opening crawl of this movie is bad?
No, what do you mean? It gets like in kind of the nitty gritty.
Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is in dispute.
Oh, sorry. You want to see that on screen? You're like, oh, I want to see some of these trade disputes.
You know, it reads like one of these like explainers on the filibuster.
It's like a Vox post.
Yeah. It looks like, yeah, Ezra Klein wrote it. It's like, actually, like, the Senate procedural rules regarding cloture haven't always been
maybe
this way.
Maybe it's just me. But I prefer that in a crawl than seeing it brought to life.
Okay. That's fine. But I think probably let's have neither. But so we'll change the crawl. I'm not going to figure that out right now. But the crawl happens, and... You know what? Maybe we'll do under a big spaceship, just like to kind of call back to the original Star Wars. Like you see a big spaceship going by.
Yeah.
Zoom out, and it's a fucking
centipedes in my house. Where are they coming from?
This is not a conversation I want to have with you.
There's so many centipedes in the house.
I don't want to talk to you about this.
You expect spiders. You expect like roaches, you know, but like. Centipedes.
I don't.
There's just centipedes everywhere.
I don't like to think about it or talk to you about it.
Okay. One just went crawling by like he fucking owns the place.
Are you done?
Yeah.
We're looking up at a ship.
I got a humane. Okay.
I'm telling
you, a little thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like a wand with a little box on the end and a trigger. And the trigger slides up a little trapdoor. So what you do is you take it and you put it over the bug.
Hell yeah.
You slide the trap board
that rolls.
Door to catch it, and then it's got a magnifying glass. So every time I catch a bug, I show it to Miles.
That's great.
And he's becoming a bug nut.
Cyril would like that. He's a bug nut.
Yeah.
Can I talk now?
Please.
We're talking about your favorite movie, but I made it better.
Yeah.
We're looking up at a ship. We zoom out. It's a fucking pod racer. The movie opens with pod racing.
Maybe it's all pod racing.
It starts with the pod racing.
Maybe it's like
scene.
Days of Thunder, except...
Fuck yeah.
Star Wars.
Rubin's racing. That's good.
Yeah.
Then you have the scene. Now, this is podcasting, says Anakin. Starts with the... That's how we're introduced to Sebulba, to Anakin.
Ben...
what is this?
Some of the other pod racers.
Oh, okay. You're naming them. Okay.
I wish I could remember more of their names. I'll look them up.
I don't think it's actually important.
Go ahead.
Okay, but don't you want to hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That's you're like you and Cyril will get along because the whole way through this movie, Cyril, every time there was a new character, Cyril asked me to look him up, tell me what kind of animal he was, and then he wanted to look at the Wikipedia entry on the computer so that he could confirm that I looked him up correctly.
Yeah, Ben Quadaneros.
That's not great to talk about.
Do you remember Ben Quadaneros?
Is he the big face one who blows up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's funny. Listen to my movie.
Okay.
Starts with pod racing. That's so interesting. And then fucking... then we meet our heroes. They're just on Tatooine. Listen, stop looking at centipedes and listen to me.
I'm worried because the centipede crawled away. And now I'm worried the centipede's going to crawl on me. And I don't want that.
I would rather that than what's currently happening, which is that I'm fucking talking to no one about a fucking...
Can I tell you a story?
I guess.
About bugs?
What?
I have this week off, and I decided to take advantage of it. And what I did was rent a van from Budget Rental Car and go to my garage, which was still full of cardboard boxes from when we moved, and a bunch of our landlord's old shit.
Okay.
And I just packed it all into the van and took it to the dump.
Yeah, I've done that before. It's good.
In the process of doing that, I took all the boxes, and I threw them into the back of the van, and then I drove to the dump. And as I was loading up the boxes, I saw a Black Widow, and I was like, ooh, spooky, a Black Widow. I'm glad I caught that before he crawled all over me, you know.
Yeah, and you then got, when I got you got the one Black Widow.
And then when I got to the dump, I started unloading the boxes, and I was like, oh, there are so many Black Widows.
Oh.
And somehow in the process, and wolf spiders, which are like,
they're huge,
this big. And yeah. Somehow in the process of loading all of these boxes into the van, I like carried, I would say, a dozen Black Widows and a dozen wolf spiders into the back of the van unnoticed, and then threw them out at the dump unnoticed too.
So wait, where were they originally?
Like in the boxes, like living in the boxes.
That's like arachnophobia.
I know. It was literally, I was like, I think it was at least 20 spiders that I saw as I was disposing of these boxes.
Well, you know, there's more.
I know. Now I know that.
Yeah. There's more.
Luckily,
always
they're out
more.
In the garage, which is detached.
Oh, man. That's
all we
sucks.
Have to worry about in the fucking house is centipedes, apparently.
Well, but this is going to be like arachnophobia because one of those centipedes, this is literally how arachnophobia starts. You're going to humanely take one of those centipedes out. It's going to mate with a fucking Black Widow.
I know.
And create like a multi-legged fucking arachnid.
It was a nightmare.
And then you have to burn your own house down.
I took all the boxes and then I came back and loaded up the van again with all the like shit that our landlord left behind.
Jesus.
And it was so much stuff, and I brought it to the dump and carefully unloaded it into all their fucking like separated bins. And then I went to pay at the weigh station. And
that's from
they
the
charge 8 cents per pound.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And I paid $80, which means I, with my own physical body today, moved 1,000 pounds
of spiders.
Of junk. And spiders out of my garage and into the landfill.
That sucks.
It was a hell of a way to spend the day.
Did you tell Jamie? Is she scared of spiders?
I did tell her. Yeah. I grew up with Black Widows in Colorado. They're everywhere. And yeah. What I told her is the only people who need to be worried are children.
Yeah. And so she doesn't people. Need to be worried at all.
Well, I do remember one time a friend of my dad's got bit by a Black Widow and he was like in bed for like a week.
Can I tell you this movie?
Don't you think that's a cool domestic thing to do on a day off? Just rent a van and clear out your garage?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Tell me your inferior version.
Now we meet Obi-Wan and...
What's the opposite of you can't polish a turd?
You
that's what you're
can
doing.
Polish a turd. That's the opposite. So, and that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Now we meet Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jim from Mallory Hates Boys and Jim.
Yeah.
And the Qui-Gon notices that the winner of the pod race, which was a very exciting way to get started with this film and also cut out 40 unnecessary minutes, it seems to be strong with the Force. And that's a better explanation than the midichlorians, isn't it?
How did they get to Tatooine?
Who cares? How did they fucking...
I do.
Okay, where does this movie start? In Lucas's ship. Version. Okay, how did they get to the Trade Federation ship?
They took a spaceship.
Okay, how did they get to that spaceship?
They're sent there by the fucking Senate. Jesus, did you watch the movie?
Can I say it? I've got a lot of beats.
Yeah.
That's how we meet them. He says, hey, I'm going to, like, let's rescue this kid. He gambles with Watto for the boy. We're keeping Watto in this movie. Then they fly to Coruscant directly to escape Darth Maul.
Why can't Darth Maul go to Coruscant?
Because they meet him on Tatooine.
Yeah.
And they get advice from the Jedis. We're keeping the Jedis, the council.
Okay.
And then this is where we first meet Amidala. There's no Padme.
There's no Padme at all.
No, we don't need that. And Amidala does some politicking with Palpatine there, separate from the Jedis, just nothing. We meet Amidala. The Jedis don't. We've got two separate narratives now. The Amidala narrative is the bureaucracy and politics and like Ezra Klein explaining the filibuster stuff, but like pretty short. And the Jedi narrative is just pod racing
and where's
Darth
Amidala?
Maul.
She's on Coruscant?
She's just there, yeah, because she's
Why?
Meeting with
Why
Palpatine.
Why isn't she on Naboo with her people?
I don't know. Same fucking reason that she ends up on court. I'm using scenes from the movie.
So you're saying that there's a whole unexplained
Yeah, we don't have to explain everything. Yeah, why is she
Naboo?
On Maybe we'll do it in some dialogue.
That sounds boring. So you're trading out all the siege stuff for
We'll put it in the crawl.
Dialogue.
I'll put it in the crawl.
Okay.
We'll have a line in the crawl that's like, Queen Amidala has flown to Coruscant to like sort out the siege situation. Good?
Yeah.
And what's good is it centers Darth Maul as a threat to the Jedi's, and it centers like Senate bureaucracy as a threat to Amidala, and we keep those things kind of separate from each other.
Okay, that's literally the plot of the movie.
We cut everything. Exists, yeah, but I'm doing it shorter. We cut everything.
Why
didn't
that be
short?
It's only
between
a quick 2 hours.
Anakin and Padme, they don't meet.
The snappy,
I mean, between
two hours,
they don't meet. There's okay.
Jack. What the fuck happens in episode 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 then?
We're changing these movies too. But then.
You know that your beloved 4, 5, and 6 couldn't happen if Anakin and Padme never met, right?
But they could, because here's the thing. Anakin's angry because he got taken from his mother. That's such a stronger reason than why he ends up being angry. Because
that
he's like mad about his girlfriend.
That is the reason. That is the reason. The fucking Jedi Council literally says that. And you're sitting here saying, like, I'm going to reinvent Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace. And then
I've invented
you're just saying
it.
What happened in Episode 1, Phantom Menace.
Then we go straight to the battle on Gungan, on Naboo. The big battle. That we have all of it in a row. We will. I will allow Jar Jar to be shown, but only as a soldier.
He's a general.
Yeah. Soldier. In this, the general stuff is cut.
What?
And then we end with a confrontation.
He's got no growth then.
We end with a confrontation. We don't need Jar Jar as a character. In fact, you know what?
Okay, I am out.
No, you know what? We're gonna boost Roose Tarples.
Hey, you sir. Stop it there.
Hey, yo, Deli. Captain Tarples. Me sir back.
No, again, Jar Jar. You sir going to the bosses. You sir in big doo-doo this time.
I do like Tarples too.
That's the other Gungan. He's got
like
a funny
Jar Jar
mustache.
Except, like, blue.
Yeah.
Rather than pink.
And then we end with the confrontation with Darth Maul. It ends sad.
That sounds like a bummer. I hate your version.
It fucking rules. And it doesn't make any sense. It cuts 45 full minutes out of this.
Why would you want to cut 45? I want to add 45 minutes. Is there a way I can add 45 minutes? I want another fucking battle.
That's my good. That's Jack's good version. It's called Jack's good version.
Jack's bad version.
It's Jack's good version. Don't you? Okay, at least tell me this. Starting with pod racing is pretty good.
That's good. I like that. I like the opening shot being just like A New Hope, except it's a pod racer.
It's a pod racer, but you can't tell because you don't get the scale yet.
What if we just make what if you and I write a whole Star Wars spinoff a la Rogue One?
Yeah.
Except it's just about the pod racing scene.
Fuck yeah.
On Tatooine.
Fuck yeah.
And it's like gritty, and it's sort of this like, I don't know, like a Baby Driver kind of like pod racing heist movie.
Yeah, it's called Sebulba's Fall.
Or like maybe they're robbing the huts?
Yeah, the pod race itself is like a fucking head fake.
Yeah.
And there's like
also,
some other
it's
shit
like
going
Ocean's
on.
Ocean's 11, except they're all like, they all work for the huts, but they're robbing the huts.
Yeah.
That would be a good movie.
That's good.
And it's called Now This Is Pod Racing.
Now This Is Pod Racing. Oh, what an interesting film. Do you want to talk about like the virgin birth stuff? What do you want to talk about?
Midichlorian virgin birth stuff is...
I don't need to talk about midichlorians with you. That's been litigated.
We've litigated that before, you and I.
No, you and I haven't. I think the world has kind of litigated it. I don't need... I guess it's. Are there any listeners who have no idea what we're talking about?
Midichlorians. Let's briefly touch on it.
No.
So if you don't know the Star Wars universe, it turns out that Episode 4, 5, and 6 came out first for some reason, and then George Lucas decided to go back and do 1, 2, and 3 like
episode.
30 years later.
Here's what I'll say, just as a preamble to that. Episode 4, 5, and 6 came out first because George Lucas, back when he was actually a very gifted storyteller in many ways, realized that creating the illusion of like depth,
a used universe,
is something that adds a lot of value to the universe that you're seeing sort of in real time.
Yeah,
and then
refer to these obscure things like the Clone Wars.
Yeah, or
everything feels
the Force.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh shit, there's a lot of like illusory depth behind that allows me to have sort of imaginative space. And then he went back and just colored it all in. This way that was not good. Everyone knows all the colors were wrong.
So midichlorians is a way to explain the Force. They're microscopic creatures that live in people's blood.
You know what it's like? It's like mitochondria and farindolae from Wrinkle in Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell.
I'm the one person who doesn't know that mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah.
Like for me, mitochondria is like a reference to A Wrinkle in Time.
A Wrinkle in Time.
Where they're like, they're basically midichlorians before midichlorians.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, Anakin's blood is swimming with these things.
Yeah, he's got more than Master Yoda.
They're off the fucking charts.
Yeah, they're off the damn charts.
Yeah.
The reading is off the chart. Over 20,000.
Even Master Yoda doesn't have a midichlorian count that high.
No Jedi has.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Why are we talking about midichlorians? Oh, so
I said I didn't
and then you kind of launched into it.
Yeah.
He's essentially made of midichlorians, and his mom doesn't actually taken a male lover.
So the issue of paternity is something that George Lucas likes to think about. Who's the daddy is a question that George Lucas often has, isn't it?
Yeah, he talks about it a lot.
Who's the daddy?
All three arcs.
When George Lucas makes a movie, the first question, he like gets like his guys around in the writer's room.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I like a lot of the stuff. I like a lot of the stuff you brought me. I like the Gungan stuff. That's fucking rules. They got floppy ears. And they fucking, they like quote Full House.
How wooed.
How wooed.
How wooed. I love that
like
stuff.
Four times.
Don't change it. That's fucking great. But the question you haven't answered and that I'm going to help you answer is who's the daddy? Because that's
who's the daddy. That's when he goes up to the whiteboard and he writes in big letters, who's the daddy?
Who's the daddy of this one?
He taps it and he leaves the room. And they're like, oh, I guess we have to explore some daddy stuff.
Yeah. Well, and they're like, well, you did a good job with it in episode 4 and 5.
And 5 in particular, yeah.
And 5 in particular. Yeah, answering the question, who's the daddy, in episode 5 was extremely satisfying. And even people who don't know Star Wars know that episode 9.
While we're talking about it, episode 9, there's some who's the daddy stuff. And
there's some who's the daddy stuff.
Interesting.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, yeah. But in this one... In this one, the one I think universally agreed upon total failure, he decided that the answer to the question of who's the daddy was, there was no daddy.
There is no daddy. He's born of pure midichlorian magic.
We
don't
have a daddy. Good. And it's an interesting subversion of the virgin birth narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Because Anakin doesn't turn out well.
I don't think it's subversive at all.
Okay, you think that Anakin is a pretty much one for one Jesus analog?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay. Right. He redeems himself at the end
of this film.
No,
of all
episode
of it.
Six.
Okay, but there's a lot.
It takes
of,
a while.
There's a lot of stuff in between that's bad. Want to talk about the
Have you ever heard of the fucking Bible, Jack?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there too that's bad.
Yeah, but Jesus of Nazareth for the most part. Is pretty good.
Okay. He fucking tore apart a temple.
He did. Throughout the.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, he threw out the money counters, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Why don't we take a quick break and then we can talk about more about the morality of this film.
Okay, I would love that.
Okay.
Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey. But Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the Roaring Twenties about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick him up. Morality. We're talking about ethics and morality in The Phantom Menace. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. This is Nightline with Jack Shepherd, and we're talking about ethics and morality.
We have a
in the Phantom
I'm the
Menace.
Guest. My name is Tanner Greenring. Yeah. I'm at this point, I would say a Star Wars Episode One Phantom Menace expert.
Yeah, and we've brought an expert on.
Malcolm Gladwell says if you spend 10,000 hours doing
watching
anything,
a Phantom
you
Menace,
an expert.
Yeah,
so, I've seen this movie so many times now. I have to think I'm an expert.
Tanner, thank you for joining us. Mm. We're talking about ethics and morality in A Phantom Menace, and it's A Phantom Menace.
It's The Phantom Menace.
And here's something that Anakin says at the 42-minute mark of this film, and I'd like you to weigh in.
I had a dream I was a Jedi. I came back here and freed all the slaves. Have you come to free us?
No.
Says Obi-Wan. No.
No.
I'm afraid not.
And then Anakin says,
I think you have.
But he's wrong, and he's not, and no, Obi-Wan's not. And
I
just
Obi-Wan
want to ask
does,
you a quick question, and the question is why not?
All,
and
it's
why
not
is why
okay,
not is the question.
The thing, it's not okay. Obi-Wan, it's Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, it's Qui-Gon Jinn from Mallory Hates Poison Jinn.
The second thing is he is there to free slaves because he does.
He's not. He's the lowest possible number of slaves you could conceivably free and say
no,
you freed slaves.
True. Okay, yes.
But so my question is, what the fuck are they doing? Like, I think Anakin has a point here. I think Anakin has a point in the larger arc of this, where he becomes Darth Vader and is bad and evil. And
Jesus, spoilers.
And I would too, if that's like, this is like my first encounter with like the fucking so-called good guys, is they show up on the planet with the this like fucking backwater ass planet. With their lightsabers and their fucking Jedi mind tricks.
Their heirs.
And they do nothing. And why? Because, like, they fucking want to, like, bring the gifted boy back to their cult.
Counterpoint.
Okay, sure.
Here's why they can't free the slaves.
Why?
Jedi mind tricks don't work on Toydarians.
Okay, Watto is not particularly threatening in this film. He's like flying buck.
So your thing is like the moral
Cyril thought
thing
he
to
was
do
cute.
Here. The moral thing to do here was slaughter Watto.
Yeah, he's a slaver.
Okay, so sacrifice one life for the many. Great,
yes,
Jack.
Fucking kill the slavers, free the slaves. Yeah, I'm down with. I'm broadly down with that.
Jesus, look at you. Who's next? Like.
Here's another
flag
thing.
Burners, you're going to kill them next. Tax dodgers, jaywalkers. Where do you draw the line? When do the Jedi stop slaughtering?
Here's another thing that Anakin says at the 43-minute and 48-second mark.
Mom, you say the biggest problem in this universe is nobody helps each other.
Says Anakin.
That's what Smee says.
That's what Anakin says.
No, that's what Anakin
oh,
is
Shmee.
Quoting.
Okay, fine.
His mother.
Well, it's a problem. And he's right. So, it's just like... It's super fucked up. Like, he just wants to recruit this, like, high MIDI count youth into his fucking cult.
Well, he's the chosen one. But he's not.
Well, that's different. Okay,
he does bring balance to the Force. Have you seen the fucking films, Jack?
He does bring balance to the Force.
A chimp.
This movie is super dark. And here's another thing about it. Like, the movie is dark, and like the darkness of it, watching it this time around, and look, I've seen it 5 or 6 times too. I'm guilty here too. I like to keep watching this movie.
I think this is probably the third time I've seen it with you.
Yeah, you and I watched it at like 5 o'clock in the morning one morning when we like went and watched all the Star Wars movies in order at the movie theater to celebrate the release of Force Awakens or whatever the first one was. But this movie is dark. Here's what I took away from it this time. I think that I'm not even joking. Like, what this movie is about is two members of a misguided Jedi cult that is like, I'm not going to make a value judgment about whether it's good or not. I haven't seen them do much one way or the other, but they show up on this fucking planet that is a slave planet against the rules of the Federation, for what it's worth. Like, it's not, slavery is outlawed, but it's like far enough out.
I think you mean the Republic. The Federation is the bad guys.
Idiot. Okay, sorry,
Jesus,
the Republic.
It's like talking to a chimp.
Okay, fine. Against the rules of the Republic, they show up on this planet and rip a young boy from his mother. Like, they're not interested in freeing any slaves except the one that's useful to them.
Right, they are interested in freeing Smee, but she...
Yeah, they don't try very hard. They don't try very hard.
Well, because Toydarians aren't susceptible to Jedi mind tricks, Jack.
Okay, fine.
Did you watch the film?
No, I did, but they don't try super hard. They rip the boy from his mother, take him in, and this is
you know what Qui-Gon Jinn could have done?
What?
It all is a game of chance because Watto rolls a chance cube.
Yeah, and it's going to roll in such a way that that they will get the mother instead of the boy. And
you know what Qui-Gon could have done?
What?
He uses his Jedi powers to make it roll to Anakin.
Right.
He could have just used his Jedi powers to like make it roll into a crack so that red and blue were both face up.
Okay, like a Monopoly. Yeah. Monopoly rules.
And then Watto's like, oh, shit. Oh,
shit, yeah. Or he could have used his Jedi powers to, like, crush Watto's skull.
Okay. And then where does that end, Jack?
I would say right there. Take them both. But they don't do that. Then, Anakin has this, like, fucking awful conversation with his mother where he's like,
I don't want things to change.
And she says,
but you can't stop the change. Any more than you can stop the suns from setting.
The change that she's talking about is them being separated and him going on to be a dark lord that kills children. That's what this movie's about.
I will also say that her future isn't all that rosy. She
no, it sucks. By Tusken Raiders.
Tusken Raiders.
Fuck. Blows. And then at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark, they have this exchange. Anakin says,
I will come back and free you, Mom. Promise.
No, he won't.
And he won't. And why? Because he fucking forgets. He like forgets to.
No, he does go back.
Yeah, when he's like,
by the time he goes back, she's been kidnapped by Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, but it's like it's killed. 7 years later. He like,
and then he literally slaughters a village full of like women and children.
And
that's
bad
babysitting. You want.
That's bad babysitting.
That's what you want. Yeah. That's your version of justice.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, if anyone does any harm, then they deserve to be slaughtered, including the women and children.
Of Tusken Raiders.
By the Jedi.
Don't do this.
The Jedi are here to slaughter anyone who steps out of line. That's what you want, Jack. That's what you said about Watto, and that's what you're saying about the Tusken Raiders. That scene where Anakin in episode 2.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
Slaughters a village full of Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, I know what happens. Yeah.
That's what you like.
That's not what I'm saying. You're twisting my words.
What do you mean? They're
words.
Kidnappers. They kidnap the mom.
Yeah, and some of them should
they're
be killed.
They're morally
I think.
Bad.
I think so. Don't put this on me. Please don't put this on me. And we're not talking about the second movie.
Do you want to do a name generator?
Okay.
What is your... pod racer name.
Okay.
There are a number of pod racers at the Bunta Eve Classic.
The aforementioned Sebulba, who's probably the best pod racer on the planet.
And they all have very fun names.
Okay. Anakin.
Anakin, yeah. Aldar Beto, Bumpy Ruse, Ben Quadaneros, Boles Ruhr,
okay.
Bozzy Baranta,
okay.
Bullseye Navuyaw, Clegg Holdfast, Cy Younga.
Cy Young okay. Award. Cy Young Award. It's, Cy Young says, Award. That's funny. That's what a pitching award.
Dud Bolt, Ebby Endicott, Elon Mack, which is pretty close to Elon Musk.
That's my pod racer name.
Fud Sang.
Okay.
Gezgango.
Okay.
Jin Rizzo. Mars Guo. Mawanek.
Jesus Christ, there's too many. I hate listening to this. I don't like listening to this. It sucks for me.
Tyrell.
If it sucks for me
slide,
in the moment,
Paramita, Teepto,
it must suck for the listeners.
Pagalis.
Keep hearing this.
Toy Dampener and Juan Sandage.
Okay.
So how does this name generator work?
Oh, you don't know.
I have a plan. No.
Perfect. Perfect. So you've led us into a pretty dynamically awful cul-de-sac.
What do you mean? Just read a bunch of nonsense names?
Well, you've read a bunch of nonsense names. And
workshop
then
on air.
You want to workshop on air how we can get a funny pod racer name?
Yeah. Here's what you do. You take your first name and you reverse it, and then you take any onomatopoeia and you add O to the end.
For an onomatopoeia for what?
Whatever.
Like
your favorite
barf.
Onomatopoeia. Sure. Barfo.
Okay. Okay. So my name is
so
Catch Barfo.
Your name
Barfo.
Would be Catch Barfo.
That rules. Sounds like totally works. My pod racer name is Catch Barfo. And I love it. Totally works.
Onomatopoeias.
Okay.
I want a good one like barf. That's a fucking hard word to spell.
Catch Barfo.
Can you get that? Can you get that on first try?
What?
Onomatopoeia?
Yeah, onomatopoeia. You want me to do it?
Do it now.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, you got it. That's
yeah, because good. It's onoma from the Greek, which means name, and poeia, which is from the Greek poeo, which means to make or create. It's what poetry comes from as well.
Gobble?
Okay, that's good. And you add an O. So Renat Gobble-O.
Renat Gobble-O. This is, I think, maybe one of the strongest name generators we've ever done.
You fucking pulled that one out. I thought we were doomed. I honestly thought we were fucking doomed. That rules.
Catch Barfo.
And Renat Gobble-O.
Gobble-O.
It's very good.
So you can do that at home.
Yeah.
That's a fun one for you.
You want to hear my fan theory with Cam Geary?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a segment. It's called Fan Theories with Cam Geary. It's because Cam Geary is a babysitting adjacent guy. And this is a novel that we do?
A video novel, this one.
Yeah, about, no, it's a podcast, what we have. This is podcasting. We talk about babysitting, and this one's about babysitting. They babysit Anakin. They do a terrible job. At least you can agree on this. Total failure of babysitting in this novel.
Oh, yeah.
100%
failure.
Should
we very quickly go down the pros and cons?
Yeah. There's not...
Almost all cons.
There's no pros. Let me say one.
Yeah.
It's murderously bad babysitting to let a baby do pod racing.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Especially if the reason you're doing it is because you want to bet on him with a slaver who owns him.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because you think he might win. That's terrible babysitting.
Con number two
sucks.
They let the boy, who's I think all of 9 or 10 in this film, do flirting with a queen.
Yeah, who's a queen. Yeah.
And they
that
do
sucks.
Some pretty intense flirting at
I
one
hate
point
that.
At 119.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I made this for you. So you'd remember me. I carved it out of a chipor snippet. It'll bring you good fortune.
It's beautiful. But I don't need this to remember you by. Many things will change when we reach the capital, Annie. But my caring for you will remain.
I care for you too.
That's what, in my good version of the movie, I cut their relationship out of this.
Okay, well then, good luck with fucking episodes.
We'll do episode two.
Six.
Episode two. The crawl. Anakin and Padme have fucked a baby into each other.
Well, okay, that doesn't happen at that point, idiot. Jesus
okay, fine.
Christ.
Episode three.
Did you
then?
Watch the movies.
Episode three. That solved it. That's the crawl. I can solve a lot of shit with the crawl.
Con.
Okay.
Letting the boy fly into space.
Yeah, that's bad. They shouldn't do that. For sure. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that Anakin is going to go on to do multiple extremely bad acts of babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
In this series.
Really bad babysitting.
Tusken Raiders, three. Terrible babysitting of the Tusken Raiders, terrible babysitting of the young Jedi.
The younglings.
Younglings. That's yeah. bad. And if you haven't seen these movies, don't.
Qui-Gon Jim says to Anakin,
from
find
Mallory
somewhere
Hits, Boys
safe
and, Jim.
And stay there.
Yeah.
When the big battle for Naboo happens.
That
and what
sucks.
I said to Jamie as we were watching it, she was looking at Twitter, she was not watching it. But what I said to Jamie was, why wouldn't they send the queen,
yeah.
who is like an important political figure, and the 9-year-old boy somewhere safe?
Yeah.
Anywhere safe.
Anywhere safe.
Gungan yeah. City, you know, like anywhere.
Yeah.
But instead what happens is that the queen is on the front lines battling droids, and Anakin Skywalker climbs into the cockpit of a spaceship, which auto-launches, sending him to the Trade Federation ship.
It turns out
orbit,
he's good at
where
shooting.
He accidentally docks the ship and then accidentally blows up the reactor, which destroys the ship and shuts down all the robots, saving the day.
Truly bad.
Truly beautiful. Bad babysitting.
Bad. It's terrible babysitting. It's just all bad. They don't look after him at all. Here's my theory. Why was he banished from Naboo? Let's look into this.
Jar Jar.
Why was he banished? They ask him,
banished from
and he deflects.
Gungan City.
Okay. He deflects.
Well, he doesn't deflect. He says he's clumsy.
He says, because I'm clumsy. It's the vaguest reason.
Why were you banished, Jar Jar?
It's a long tale, but a small part of it would be Miss Clumsy.
You were banished because you were clumsy.
You so mightn't be saying that.
Yeah. And then they let it happen. Jar Jar is the master manipulator of this film.
I actually have this in my notes, too. I say Jar Jar is a tactical genius, 5D chess.
Yes, he's playing 5D chess. Listen to this. This film, like, you and I agree on one thing. And you stipulated this at the beginning, but I want to expand on it. Watching the movie this time, and especially because I was watching it with a view to trying to create a good movie out of it by cutting a lot of stuff and rearranging it.
Yeah, that's debatable whether you accomplish that. I say no.
A thing that I ran into that is difficult that I think you picked up on, to give you a compliment here, this movie really does revolve around Jar Jar. Like, this film, like, for better, well, no. For worse. I don't know. Is that an expression?
For better.
For worse. This film, like, can't exist without Jar Jar. Cyril noticed it immediately. He was like, who the fuck is that handsome devil?
In a good way.
In a good way.
He likes him.
But, like, you can't do this movie without Jar Jar. It's like, this is a movie that's about Jar Jar. It's a movie that forgets to have a hero for the most part. And if there is an answer to the question, who is the hero of this film, the only kind of reasonable answer is Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon,
can I quickly divert you?
Just a quick aside. I hate it, but I don't like it.
I don't know if Baby Nation knows this about me. I suspect they do, but I have a pretty robust
Jar Jar collection.
Jar Jar Binks memorabilia collection.
It got you and me into big trouble when entertainment website also became a fairly well-known political news website.
Yeah.
And all of the new, like, hotshot political reporters from, like, The Atlantic and The New York Times showed up and didn't like the fact that you and I pressed the button on your Jar Jar Binks
and it played
toy
and
it played the Cantina song for, like,
and then
2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah, dances the whole time.
And that we like to press it constantly.
Yeah.
It was a real issue.
It was a real issue.
It was like
got me pretty close to being fired.
Yeah. Anyway.
I also accidentally shot one of those political reporters in the face with a Nerf dart once.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Really almost got me fired.
Yeah, that was bad.
I have a number of Jar Jar Binks collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, let's say it. Let's see. What can I help you?
No, you've just distracted me. I'm trying to remember what my point was.
Oh, great. Okay. So we're, and I'll remind you that the digression we're on is one that's a digression from my point. And
what were you saying? Because now I want to go back and figure out what my point was.
It's interesting because I've never heard this from you before. What were you saying? Like, normally, you'd be pretty happy to let the digression just go for the rest of the episode. But
no,
now
wanna,
you need
I
want
to figure out what I was now saying because I feel like it was an important point.
But it had nothing to do. Okay.
I always kept my Jar Jar Binks collection at work.
Yeah.
At the job we both worked at.
Yeah.
And one time, always near my desk.
Yeah.
But publicly displayed so anyone could enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, I was sitting at my desk working and some, like, kind of snotty programmers came by. One guy was showing a new guy around the office.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, and here's the like infamous Jar Jar collection. And the new guy was like, oh yeah, like that's kind of fucked up. Like I remember seeing that movie and like thought that character was pretty problematic.
Okay.
Because of his,
yeah. And he's not
offensive
wrong.
Accent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I couldn't disagree.
No.
But it still did kind of raise my
hackles,
my ire.
Yeah, because you'd love the character. Warts
Do I
and all.
Love the character? I have a complicated relationship.
Yeah. You'd like to have say. You'd like that you have a collection of Jar Jar Binks collectibles, and it's a nice thing about you.
It might be one of the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
Because who else is collecting?
They're never expensive.
No, they're always cheap. Yeah. When I heard just now when you said that Cyril really attached to him.
Yeah.
I went to eBay and was like, maybe I can
please
stoke this fire.
Please. Cyril loves Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
He and I had a pretty interesting Star Wars conversation that I think you would appreciate. Because he was like, who's that? He was like, who's that guy? Who's that scary guy? Then he said,
Jar Jar Binks.
What kind of animal is he? And I said, he's a Gungan.
Gungan.
And then the next character that we saw that raised Cyril's interest was Boss Nass. And he was like,
okay, and this actually brings me to a segment that I wanted to introduce, and I know that we're still kind of in your segment, but I do want to...
Not just in my segment, but like in the middle of a sentence that I was saying about my firstborn son.
Well, I thought you were done because you said his first favorite character was Jar Jar Binks and his second favorite character was Boss Nass.
No, and then Cyril said, what kind of an animal is he? And I said, Gungan. He's a Gungan. And Cyril was like, well, how can they both be Gungans?
Right.
And isn't that an interesting question? Because they don't look alike at all.
I think it's complicated.
I think there are two species on Naboo.
But they're both considered Gungans.
Yeah. Okay, now you can say your segment.
It's a new segment I have. It's a new thing I want to introduce. You're going to have to find some music and do like sound effects. It's called...
Perfect. I'm going to love that as an editor. Boom, 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 power rankings.
And great. Here's how it works. We do a power ranking of our favorite characters in the film. Number one for me, Jar Jar Binks.
What's the criteria? Kind of the,
what do you mean?
What's the criteria? Is it like how much we like them or like how important they are to the film?
I think a mix. I think you can use whatever justification you need to.
Okay.
So number one power ranking is Jar Jar Binks because the whole film sort of revolves around him. It revolves around him. He's the center of the universe.
So now it's number one for me, too.
Number two on my list, Boss Nass.
Watto for me.
Watto for you. Number three, every other character. I don't care.
Okay. So you're just a Gungan. This is the thing. You like the Gungans.
I'm a Gungan guy.
Well, so this fits in with my fan theory, so we can come back to it. Listen, Jar Jar is a master manipulator. He's banished from Gungan City. And he just like coyly says, oh, I'm clumsy, don't worry about it. What did he do? It must have been fucking terrible. But he manipulates Qui-Gon Jim from Mallory Hates Boys and Jim and Obi-Wan into getting him out of this like bad situation where he's like an exile for like some crimes that we don't even know.
Clumsiness.
Then
it's a strict society.
Like he leverages that. Like anytime they get into danger, like he like, oh, accidentally like falls in such a way that he doesn't have to do the fight.
Or like falls in such a way that he releases a bunch of big bombas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that happens.
And kills
a
bunch
of
droids.
Yeah. He's like much more wily than he appears. He then ensures that Amidala makes it to Coruscant just in time to agree to the vote of no confidence for Chancellor Valorum. And now we're at a place where if you haven't seen this film, you do need Ezra Klein to like do a Vox explainer for it. Right. And I know that Ezra Klein's not a Vox anymore, but you know.
He'll still do it.
He'll still do it. That's actually a
kind
funny
of a
site.
Of his.
That's a funny site you and I should start. It's like Vox, but for like dumb shit.
Explaining the politics of episode
it's
one.
It's like Vox, but for dumb shit. And it's like, you never let the mask slip, right? Like, it's not funny. Like, it's just like, it's like extremely dry.
Totally pie like, face. Yeah.
Like, what's the deal with the Trade Federation?
Yeah. I think then, that site exists and it's called Wikipedia.
He parlays his relationship with Amidala into a high-ranking position in the Gungan army. Right? He goes from exile to fucking bombardier general.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he needs for his next step, right? Now that he's like a fucking war hero, like a Naboo war hero.
I thought we weren't talking about the subsequent films.
I'm briefly saying it. He could be a senator just in time to be in a perfect position to undermine the opposition to Palpatine's rise in the Senate through sheer incompetence and unlikability.
Or is it?
Just in time.
Is it sheer incompetence and unlikability, or is it calculated?
Exactly.
Is it carefully calculated?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's my fan theory.
It's 5D chess.
It's 5D chess. Jar Jar Binks is the most important character in the Star Wars universe on the dark side.
I'm not going to buy into this theory. This is like a meme.
What do you mean like, it's a meme?
Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord and he's pulling all the strings.
That's a thing that others have said before me?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It's like,
really?
It's a very like popular meme on the internet that Jar Jar Binks is actually a Sith Lord and he's pulling all the evil strings.
Okay, well, if I saw it too...
And there's all sorts of support for it, like specific scenes where Jar Jar like fucks up in a way that like makes things happen the way they need to happen.
Well, lo and behold, look who can do a fucking meme, but just from his laundry room.
Look who can do a meme, the guy who's worked professionally in meme making for a majority of his life.
Okay, well, that's my fan theory with Cam Geary.
Okay, I have a segment I want to introduce.
Okay, we've got...
It's called... minutes and 30 seconds into the film.
Yeah.
They are in Moss... It's not Moss Eisley.
No, I wish.
It's something, Moss something, on Tatooine.
Okay.
And they're wandering around trying to find the creds to buy a new hyperdrive engine. Because their hyperdrive engine got broken by robots.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to do Jedi mind tricks on Watto. It doesn't work. He's a Toydarian. Jedi mind tricks don't work on him.
Yeah.
They're walking through the city trying to figure out what their options are. And Qui-Gon Jinn says to... Padme,
mm-hmm.
that they have nothing. They don't need to worry about any of their shit getting stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The beings hereabouts call Wazy. We shall be robbed and crunched.
Not likely. We have nothing of value.
Because they have nothing of value, which is exactly their problem.
Right.
And as they're walking out of the frame, R2-D2, who's in this film.
Cut him out of my version, but yeah.
Kind of rolls into frame and does sad beeps. And my burn is on R2-D2 because Qui-Gon Jinn says that they have nothing.
They're talking about him.
R2-D2 is a...
That's funny, Bert. That's good.
Yeah.
My burn is at the 1 hour and 18 minute mark, and it is Newt Gunray.
Oh, hell yeah. Newt Gunray.
Newt Gunray says
one
to...
racist caricatures in the Federation.
I guess we're going to play a clip, and I guess, forewarning, it's a racist caricature.
It's pretty bad.
Yep.
There's a lot of bad racist caricatures in this film, including my beloved Jar Jar.
Newt Gunray
and Jack's beloved Watto.
Yeah. Newt Gunray says to Sayo Bibble the following thing.
Your queen is lost. Your people are starving. And you, Governor, are going to die much sooner than your people, I'm afraid.
That's a bad burn. That sucks.
That sucks to hear.
That's brutal to hear that.
Yeah. He becomes kind of a pawn.
Yeah, everyone's a pawn.
Yeah. It's kind of
literally everyone in this film is a pawn.
Except the queen. No,
especially the queen.
She's a queen.
Yes, she is a queen, and she's a duly elected queen.
To state our allegations, I present Queen Amidala, recently elected ruler of the Naboo, who speaks on our behalf.
Of Naboo, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's elected queen.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is territory that has been covered. It's a political movie. Normally, we don't like to talk politics on this podcast. And this is podcasting.
Too messy.
But it's a political movie.
Some fans.
This is
and
a political movie.
I'm sure we're going to alienate some Federation listeners.
Yeah.
This episode. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But the Federation sucks.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
But he manipulates the queen, I mean Sidious does, into making a vote of no confidence in Chancellor Valorum, who doesn't appear in the movie.
He does.
I mean, for like 1 second.
He's in there for
but
one
it's like
scene.
It's like the most important thing about this film is that like Chancellor Valorum like is the one thing holding the fucking like Galactic Senate together, and in order to take him down, Queen Amidala has to say a vote of no confidence in him, even though he's a good man. And she does do it. And we see him for 1 second, and he just, like, does a face palm. It's like, Chancellor Valorum, I want to see the movie about you and, like, how this ended up happening.
His fall from grace. Did you see the ETs?
Did I see the ETs? What does that mean?
That's a famous Easter egg in this film. There's a...
They're
the
senators. Yep.
In the Senate.
I didn't see him this time.
ETs.
I didn't see him this time. I know about the ETs.
Yeah, the ETs.
There's ETs.
Recognized
friends. Friends Senate. Who don't know this fact, which is maybe many. Literally, a delegation in the Senate is ETs from ET the
Extraterrestrial.
It's a crossover. They share the same universe. They're like. Half of the audience is like, yes, I fucking know. And then there are some people whose mind has been blown by that fact.
Yeah.
It's E.T. is in this movie.
E.T.'s.
It's E.T.'s. E.T.'s are in this. They're in there. Look it up.
This is a hell of a film.
Yeah, it was a hell of a film.
I recognize that maybe it's not for everyone, but I do genuinely think it's a good movie.
And I like that you like it. And I mean that for real. It warms my heart how much you like this movie. And
this is a
makes
thing
me
about
like
me
you
is
more.
That I love the things I love. I truly love.
Yeah.
Like my thing with Star Wars is like I just love the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I will consume any piece of Star Wars media, and I genuinely enjoy most of it.
It's
some
beautiful.
More than others, but watching this again tonight, I was just like, this is like a good movie.
Yeah.
It's good. Like,
I love that you think
it works.
That.
It moves along. Like it's just a good movie. And if you haven't seen it yet, Baby Nation, go out and watch it.
Go out and watch it. Enjoy it.
Buy it.
Buy it.
Buy it. Wherever, please. On whatever
stream Phantom
is
Menace.
Most appropriate.
Can we be
for you,
one of these people,
it.
Like these, like get on Twitter and be like, street, like reply, like just reply guys and write stream Phantom Menace
stream
to
Phantom
everyone's
Menace.
Tweets.
Yeah. Our friend Matt does that to us every time Britney Spears comes out with a new song.
Yeah.
Harasses us until we buy it and listen to it.
I love that you like this movie. It's nice about you. It's a nice thing about you. And it's good. It shows strength of character. And I think, I hope that I've navigated that, because I didn't want to just be a bummer, because this movie fucking sucks so fucking bad every second of it.
It doesn't suck. It's good.
And I did not want to bring that particular energy to this episode.
Film.
But I hope that I have honored you and your love for this movie, which I do honor.
Yeah.
And I do love.
I feel honored.
Good. All right. I've got 10 minutes before my friend arrives for a socially distanced outdoor beer on my catio. So I will bid you farewell, Tanner. I would like to thank you for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. I would like to say that I love and kiss you, Baby Nation. Yeah. I would like to say that you must subscribe to our Patreon. It's the only thing that keeps us alive. It's the only thing that keeps us going. If you would like to support our show and get a whole other fucking show for just $5
a month. Fucking description.
You know what? Here, I'll say something. Here, I'll say this. You know, people say like, it's just the price of a cup of coffee. You know, people say that. Yeah. I went today. I forgot in the last year that you could do this. I went today for the first time in a year to a coffee, to a Starbucks, and I got a cup of coffee.
A drive-thru?
No, I just went.
Jesus,
like...
Jack! It's a pandemic.
I went to Dunkies
today.
But it was the first, I just went past it and I was like, fuck, man. I literally have not had a cup of coffee outside my house in a year.
Yeah.
And it was super nice and it was more expensive than what it costs to get our fucking Patreon podcast fucking four times a month.
$5 a month.
Yeah. Please do it. It really does help to support us and it is a good and you'll like it. And we're going to do something super interesting when we're done with the little sister. Little episode.
Which you're almost done with the little sisters.
And it's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Please buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. Please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. And finally, you absolutely have to join the Baby Nation Facebook group. Everyone in there is nice.
Yeah, we're good.
And good. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. That novel was called The Phantom Menace or Phantom Menace, and George Lucas did it.
It was an accident,
and it was a big accident, but it still happened, and it was it's a babysitting book. Next week, I think it's Jane Eyre.
Yeah, Jane Eyre.
Have you been listening? I've been reading. It's good.
I've been listening to it via audiobook. I listened the entire time I was doing my garage chores today.
Okay,
kind of a bummer. I don't know that I expected it to be this much of a bummer.
Okay, I haven't got that far yet. It's like I weirdly...
What do you mean? The opening chapters are a bummer.
Oh, yeah, no, it starts out like a bummer. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. It's a gap in my education. As an English lit major, you would really think that I had read it, but I actually have not read Jane Eyre. So
same
I'm
here. I
could
have sworn I read Jane Eyre at some point.
Yeah.
I could have sworn I did. But then as I'm listening to the audiobook of it, I'm just like, none of this is familiar.
No, it's not familiar. It's good as hell so far. So
it is very good.
I think that now that we've talked about it a lot in the outro, it's almost certainly what we're going to read next week, which is for me, like, I'm not listening to the audiobook, so I need to fucking get cracking. I'm like, because we did The Gunslinger, and I just loved it so much. It, like, rekindled my love of reading. And, like, I'm like, on book four, midway through book four of The Gunslinger. And so it's really hard for me to, like, look at those two books.
Wizard in the Glass?
Yeah. I've got, like, Wizard in the Glass and Jane Eyre on my bedside table, and it's like... It's like the angel on my shoulder and the devil on the other one. And it's like very
Jane
hard
Eyre
to be like.
Jane is very good.
No,
it rules. Compelling.
It fucking rules. Looking forward to talking about it. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter. Claudia is wearing a bra now on the way. Okay. We got to do one for this.
This is pod racing.
Now, this is podcasting. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Who's that?
That's Rugor Nass.
Thank you for your help. We leave in peace.
He's a Gungan.
Wait, they're all Gungans?
Yeah, the Gungans are divided into two different species. Rugor Nass is a Gungan boss, but Jar Jar Binks is, I guess he's like just a regular Gungan.
This Gungan may be of help.
Why?
It's baffling.
Why did they do that?
It's just it's a baffling choice.
What's the big thing? What's that?
Suppose maybe one or two mean little bitty actors.
That's a big fish! That's a big scary fish!
Yeah, it's huge.
Thank you.
It's a big scary fish. I don't know what it's called. It's a big fish.
Yeah, I like that big fish.
You like it?
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. Whoa.
He's a bigger. Whoa! Whoa.
There's always a bigger fish.
That's not our cousin.
Where's Jar Jar Binks?
Where's Jar Jar Binks? Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's still on the ship with... Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon.
The Queen and I was
on a team. I can't see Jar Jar Binks. I like that guy.
You like him?
Yeah. He's cool.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.